God is good. God is good. The reason I say that is because Jesus added these words. Not only is God good, no one else is good but God. No one else is good but God. Why does he add that? Because you might think other people are good. But he makes it very clear, no one. That means, I'm going to say it strongly, you can't do good works unless you're born again. Unless you're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. So, you see, you were made not in man's image. You weren't made originally that way. You were actually made, let us make man in our own image, so you look like him. And also, he adds, so that you may be like him, but you can't be him. You may be like him, but you can't be him. So you have to know you're a mortal man, especially after Adam and Eve sinned. And that still affects us to this day. I notice some people are still sinning. It's just an observation I have. So if you're a spirit-born man, born from above, then everything you see is not real. I'm going to say that again. Everything you see is not real. Only the unseen world, which you cannot see. And that's why you can't do good works, because that's what sin does. It puts the darkness inside of you and chases away the light. So the darkness comes in because the light went back to God. And so we have to be born again, a new creation. In the Greek, it's kine katesis. Kine means new of a different kind, not natural. So you're not born naturally. No one sees it. No one sees it because you are made in the image and likeness of God. Tselem is the Hebrew word for image. Image means you actually look like God. That's why you can commune with him. Animals cannot. Plants, flowers, trees, bushes, they cannot communicate with God. Now, they do dance and sing, but that's all because of God. They do all kinds of things, and we do too. But you actually can hear God and speak to God because you're a new creation. You're not subject to what you see. You're subject to what God said. Does that make sense? So I'm going to read you today a prayer that I prayed this morning. And I'm going to read it not because I'm interested in reading, but just because... Before I start the book of Deuteronomy, Dudu, it's two, and then nomos is the law. So reading again the law, not in the beginning at Mount Horeb, where Moses began. So all the way from Horeb, it takes about 11 days to get then to the promised land. It took them 40 years. Sometimes you start out a thing and you think, this will be quick. Hey, what are you doing here? Praise God.
Are we allowed?
Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you. It's a blessing. So the whole idea of starting out, and then it only takes 11 days to walk it, even with women and children and babies and lambs and goats and so on. But because of their sinfulness, because they murmured, they griped, they complained. Thank God none of us do. Thank you, Jesus. Since you don't by faith.
Yes.
You don't by faith, but you actually do. Let me know that you actually do what you're not supposed to do and what you cannot do. So you're doing something in vain. Man at his best state is altogether vanity, foolish, empty. You did something that was nothing. So in other words, everything that you do, Psalm 39:5, everything that you do is actually nothing in God's sight. But if you go by what God said, you're no longer of this world because it's invisible. The word is visible, the written word, but the living word is not. He used to be on the earth and he's coming back. But he's coming back by removing all your sin so that when he comes back, you'll be like a bride without spot. Could you say amen?
Amen.
You won't have a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish or a stain or an iniquity or sin or anything. You'll be perfect because God does that work for you, then in you, then through you, so that when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. They won't glorify you because even though you're invisible, when Christ is in you, it becomes manifest, seen. You actually can see it, not with these eyes, but you can see it in such a way the world, the unborn again, the not new creation, that person will actually see you have the Spirit of God. I see that in your patience. I see that in your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. All of those things I know are not obvious on the earth. And so when men see it with these eyes, but it's actually spiritual eyes, when they see it, they marvel. They marvel. Even people that say, wow, you're peaceful. You are not anxious. You're not murmuring. You're not complaining, etc. And so the sign that you're a Christian is you learn obedience through what you suffer. Suffering is not suffering. Suffering in the Bible means you see heaven spiritually, but you don't see it physically. That's what suffering is. I see heaven spiritually, it's so real to me, spiritually, but I don't actually see it. That's why we do it by faith. You have faith in another, not yourself. You don't have self-actualization or self-realization. How many know you'd be disappointed if you tried? You would be. There's no way you can avoid that. As soon as you want happiness, you'll lose it. As soon as you want pleasure, you'll lose it. So everything that God does is hidden under its opposite on earth because you can't see it. So heaven is all right, but that's something we believe. We haven't seen it. But someday when he comes back, you'll actually be what you now believe. You'll actually be what you now believe. So beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. So I've taught that for years. Now I want to read this prayer that I actually just finished before I took a shower and got here. This prayer was early in the morning, as I wake up early in the morning, and meditate, pray, laugh, dance, sing, whatever, because Peggy's usually sleeping. And that's good. I want her to sleep. Let your beloved sleep. Amen. And so let her sleep. But I love it because I can laugh, dance, sing, whatever I want to do. All right. This is my prayer. Sunday, January 12, 2020. I am not God. It's a good beginning. That's a very good beginning. I am not God. I was created by God to bear his image. Betzalemnu kedemutnu, in Hebrew it means we are made in the image and likeness of God. So that we not only have an image, we actually can act like God, but you can't be God. You just can't be God. For all eternity, you'll never be God. And God wants it that way. It humbles us, but that's not why he does it. He just wants it that way because it's true. You're not God, but it's not just because of sin. Even if you got rid of all your sin and you're not sinning, you still are not God. And for all eternity, we won't be God. But we'll be in relationship with God, not religious. Religion is the bane of this world. Religion is man at his best state trying to please God. You cannot. He wants to please you. He doesn't want you to please him. Thank God we have a church full of sinners.
Amen.
Who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And so you're simul justus et peccator. You are at the same time a saint and also a sinner. Have you noticed that? With in other people, I'm not talking about yourself, but you notice that in other people. They fall short of the glory of God. In other words, they can't do it. But you can do it by faith.
Amen.
And God wants it that way because it humbles us every day to realize I'm not God. So I begun, as the Holy Spirit led me this morning, to say it, I'm not God. But I was created by God to bear his image. And to act like God. How does that happen? You don't do it. The way you perform his will, and you actually can do good works this way, but you do it by faith. But someday you'll see what you now believe. Someday you'll see. Blessed are those not who see and believe, but who believe and then see. Because you're seeing an unseen world. The invisible world upstairs is not obvious down here until Jesus came down as a son. And he came down because he always does what's pleasing to the Father. So I want to read the law today, the Deuteronomic, the second reading of the law. They had it 40 years earlier, then they wandered for 40 years and complained the whole time. And for example, one day he fed them from something up in the sky, and they said, "What is this?" That's what manna means. What is this? What is this? This is not nourishing. But actually, it kept them alive. And so all God wanted you to do was be alive. Just stay alive. How many know there's something in you called self-preservation? There's something in you that wants to stay alive, even though life is not as wonderful as my faith says it is. Because I have to say against myself every day. You have to have self-discipline, self-government, self-restraint. Don't be yourself. Be yourself. Okay. Don't be yourself, meaning I'll be mad today or something. Not, that is not yourself. Yourself is doing what God says without seeing it. Do it by what he says, not by what you feel or think or want or have done. And so being a Christian is, you might think this won't sell. You might think this is not really a good message. You know, let people do the best they can. But God doesn't want that. So God always has his way. It's like parents do with children. The parent will win, and you learn the hard way. The parent always cares more for you as a child, and children are not even aware of it. They just go around dancing, singing, you know, doing whatever they want to do. And they're not aware that this house you didn't build, and these clothes, and you didn't even buy those. And they don't realize that how valuable a parent is, right? And so you have to tell them, I'm valuable. It's like, I'm valuable. But if they really love you, they'll misbehave.
Yep.
Because they know, Mom will at least forgive me. Even if Dad doesn't, Mom will. She'll bear up. And kids get used to that, and all of our kids could abuse Peggy right and left because they realize, Mom, she's unconditional. You know, she'll take us to Six Flags and do this and drive us all around and so on and so forth. And she spoiled them. But it was good because they when they grew up, they realized, thanks, Mom. And she not only that, but she always saw their sins. She had eyes in the back of her head, and she could actually see everything that's going on. I have a lot of illustrations of that. But it's kind of funny, because Peggy is 99% right. And about the same with me, I'm 99% wrong. So a little bit of difference there. So this whole idea, it goes on. So I'll act like him in all my ways, serving him in the spirit and in truth. How many know that since God is a spirit, you must worship him in spirit and in truth? Because you can't see it. The thing about God is you cannot see him. And no man has ever seen God. Nobody on earth has seen God. He used to walk in the garden, they could see him. But that ended when the darkness came in because the Spirit of God went back to God where it belongs. When Adam and Eve sinned, darkness came in, and the Spirit then had to flee back to God. In other words, God withdrew the Spirit, so darkness came in. So darkness is in everyone's heart. And so stop imagining that people are nice. Stop imagining that you are nice. Stop imagining that nice exists. Nice is not Christian. That's just you at your best state. So God doesn't want you to be nice. God wants you to be yourself. And so you're going to always be Simul Justus et Peccator. You're always going to be a saint and a sinner at the same time. This was a break with the Catholic Church, which taught works. You can do good works. And so they obeyed that and did whatever God said and felt guilty when they didn't and never, ever, ever could get rid of the guilt. Even if you don't even think about it and you're drinking booze, it doesn't matter. You are still guilty and it plays a huge role on you. Most people are desperate all the time and they don't know it, but their life shows it. And so you're living with people that are less than perfect and you have to love them as they are. Amen?
Amen.
You're living with people that are less than perfect and you have to be blind. I didn't see that. I didn't hear that. But actually you can see it and hear it. But you have to say, I don't. Who is blind but my servant? In other words, when Jesus came, he had no eyes to see your sin. But he hates sin. But he had no eyes to see it. Because he divided you from your sin. He died so that your sin would be removed and you'd remain. Did you hear what I just said? So he didn't die because he wanted to kill you. He died because he kept you alive, even though you killed your brother. As Cain did. And Cain said, in all real, he was just being real. Hey, now that I've killed my brother, whom I didn't want to be his keeper, now that I killed him, everyone will want to kill me. It's too much. I can't bear it. He never did. He never bore his sin. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Because God said, no. I'm going to put a mark on you, and if somebody wants to kill you, have to deal with me first. And I'm in charge of everything. So it won't happen. I put this mark on you. Missing the mark is sin. What is the sin? Can anyone name it? Missing the mark is sin. That's what sin literally means. You missed the mark. The target is over here, and you shot above it or below it, but you didn't hit the center of the target. What is it to miss the mark?
A belief.
Yeah. If you believe the gospel, which is always good news, euangelion, like a good angel, but good news. If you believe that, and I do, if you believe that, you're happy all the time. Because the mark is not being yourself, but being a new self. Under new management. How many know that companies are sold often because the other management wasn't able to manage well? But if it brought under someone else's management, it might do better. And we have people in our church that actually do that. You're actually improving society. You're improving a business that was failing. Trump actually made all of his money by not just buying it at the price it was sold for, waiting for a crisis to happen, and he bought it 10 cents on the dollar. That's how he made his money. And so he's doing the same in politics as he did in business. He sees a bad situation and then reverses it because he has eyes to see that. And now that he's a believer, in whatever sense, it doesn't matter whether he's immature or mature. He's a believer. He's actually just what he said. I made all this money and I did a few things that were legal but not really lawful. But anyway, she's never hidden that. But I took advantage, but now that I'm president, I decided I should contribute back. I should give. No salary, no pleasure, no anything. Having Republicans hate me, Democrats hate me, Libertarians hate me. I'm not a globalist. I don't believe in the whole message because I'm smart enough to realize this world is not what it ought to be. It's what it is. And I want to change that. I want to make America great again. I'm not bragging on him. I'm just simply saying he's a good example of someone that realized they were sinners, because all of our founding fathers realized that, because they were all Protestant by background, and they know they could not do, this is the key to the Reformation, they could not do good works to please God, because God said these words, I am among you not as one to be served, but to serve. Change the whole equation. That's why Jesus came down to show you God's goodness, his favor, his grace, and to show you his mercy for your sins, because he separated you from the sin, died for your sins, so that you could be set free. Anyway, the prayer is all about that. Now let's read Deuteronomy and show what you ought to do, but you did not do. And you know why the law was ever given? It was given as a mirror that you could look into it and realize, it's not me. That's not me. I intended better, but I did the best I could, but, you know, I just failed. I can pray that every day. I do. I do. If I kept reading, you'd see that. I pray every day, God, I started out with so many projects. I had such a vision, you know, such a dream, and so on and so forth, but it didn't happen. And so dreams are not, they're not really a key, you know, like a key to life. You can be a dreamer, but so many of my, you know, I don't know, I must have had, I don't know the number, but I must have had 100 things that I intended to do and never done them. I've never done, and I'm getting so old now. This year will be 80. I mean, I'm getting so old now that I kind of don't believe in those dreams anymore. And I don't think, well, when I get old and I retire, I'll do this and that and so on. Of course, I'm not going to retire. But anyway, if I did, so I'll be 100 without teeth and stuff like that. I'm preaching the gospel. Because I love it. But there are a few things I wanted to do, like make a children's book that told the whole story exactly with all the dates being accurate. Now, how many know you can't know everything, even about dates? Because you can't know the day of his return. You can't know the day or the hour. You can know the season. And I think we're in that season right now. So you can go ahead and get married for young people. Not a problem. But it isn't today. Definitely not today. But we're close. We're rehearsing. You can almost hear the trumpet sounding. So everything is about to happen. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 1. So turn. Always bring your Bible. All right. Because the written word is so awesome. Judges. These new Bibles, since I clipped my nails, I cannot get them. All right. Deuteronomy. All right. Number one. So what does Deutero mean? Deuteronomos. The second reading of the law. 40 years earlier, they read the law on Mount Horeb. And after they heard it, they said to Moses, "You go up and see God. We don't want to deal with him. We don't really trust that God is loving. We don't trust that he's, you know, unconditionally loving. We heard it, but we don't really believe it." And so even though they're believing something they don't really believe in, there are a few people in the church like that. It is, they're believing it, they perform, but they don't really believe this is a real thing. God is much more real than anything downstairs. This book is the only thing. I don't say it's real. What I say is the Bible, the Textus Receptus of the Greek and the Masoretic text of the Hebrew, which I read every day, as well as the Latin to understand church history. Because of that, you learn a lot by reading the original, but what you do learn is that you're guilty under the law. Under the law, you're guilty. Even your own law, even make up a law, you still fail. No matter what you make up, you won't live up to it. And you have to say to yourself every day, "I'm a zero. I do." You have to say every day, "I need to be under new management." And so, God, take over. I just blew it again. You learn from your mistakes. That you learn that you're going to make mistakes. You just learn that. You learn, like, how many times have I started out and it was taken away at the last moment? And I thought, I had the theory down good. I had my pro forma. You know, I knew what I was doing. But it didn't work out that way. And so the older you go, you have to learn, I'm not going to accomplish everything. What is the one thing I could do? Only believe. That's the one thing I could do. I'm not very good at being good. I'm not good at that. But what I am good at is not being good. I'm very good at that. It's easier to sin than it is to not sin. Amen. You ever notice that? It's just easy. And you can't even account for it. All right, I'll work on that. You can't work on it. That's the one thing you can't do. You can't stop doing evil. I'll say that again. You can't stop doing evil. And you can't start doing good. Two things you cannot do. So you're a hypocrite because you are not what you are, is you're trying to do good and you're trying to not do evil. You can't. You can't. So it's easy. This message is great because it fits everybody. Will the Muslims have their caliphate? They may for a moment or two, but it's not going to last long. And they may not. Because it's all depends on the church. Doesn't depend on them. If the church is not hot, they probably will succeed. Today it's lukewarm. Whether you're a Methodist or whether you're, Presbyterian or Catholic or whatever. The Christianity is, her stock has gone down a little bit. And every denomination feels it. And we see the Presbyterians, and then we can see the Anglicans, and now the Methodists, they're all deciding to divide. And so they don't know what happens to the unity, because they don't know what to do. Who gets the church? Who doesn't? Who owns this and who owns that? But anyway, that's natural. God is doing that, actually. Not man. Man doesn't do anything. God is the only actor in the universe. If he's the only actor in the universe and you don't act, what's going to happen? What can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? The answer is nothing. But then you never did anything anyway. Whatever you did, you didn't do. Actually, God did it.
Amen.
And to God be the glory.
Yes.
Soli Deo Gloria. To God be all the glory. I could prove that, but I'm just saying it. You can look it up later or try to do it without God. Marriage doesn't work without God. I'm going to say this again. Because God has designed marriage not to work without Him. I usually hesitate and I say, especially when I'm marrying somebody, marriage is designed not to work. And then I hesitate. And then everyone's like, what is he saying? Without God. And then, oh, okay. Because it's a religious service, so they accept that. But it's actually designed not to work without God. So everything God wants you to do, you can't. Everything he wants you to do, so he just does it for you. He dies in your stead. Everyone knows what the Bible, the text doesn't change, just the interpretation changes. So the Protestants still believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, same as Catholics do. Same. So it's not the text that changes. The text is still the same. But it's your interpretation of it. And the whole Reformation was built on that. To say that since you are not good and will never be good, even in all eternity, you'll not be good, but you'll be called good because God did it for you. And God does it through you. And God does it in such a way that you didn't even see the invisible hand. Everything that's false is visible. Everything that's false is not visible. It's just external. And so we think that's real. It's not real at all. But what's unseen, what you cannot see, more real than anything that can be seen. We're not talking about the devil. We're talking about God. So God can do away with the devil in an instant. Every little kid knows that. Boy, if I were God, I'd poke him in the nose and knock him down. That's good. That's a very, very good idea, but it's juvenile. So God leaves him for some reason because he's useful to God. Did you know that? So when the law is given, was it given for the Jews to follow? I don't teach that. I teach the opposite. It was never given to them. It was given to Jesus to do for them, in them, through them. It's powerful. So your life, he actually sets something up that's impossible. Be holy as I'm holy. I'll try. It's like, I'll give it a try. Because no one has ever done it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So why does he say be holy? Why does he say be perfect like I'm perfect? Why does he say be righteous as I'm righteous? Why does he make himself the measure? So you're always guilty. That's the whole reason the law was given for Jesus to do on your behalf. He's your substitute. He's the one that atones for you substitutionarily. So he just says, I'm going to do this for you. In other words, I'm going to live your life that you couldn't live. And God knew that. You don't think that was a late idea. Gee, they're sinning all the time. I need another religion. He didn't do it that way. He knew. How many know he knows everything from the beginning?
Amen.
Before there even was a world, he slew Jesus Christ. He died right there. He didn't die later, 4,000 years later. No, he died right there before the foundation of the world. He was slain from the foundation before there was a world at all. Because he says, you just rest here about 4 days. You'll just rest here. Because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years with God. Do you understand? Or with us, it's 1,000 years. But that's just a day with the Lord. So on the third day, he rose from the dead. So on the third day, since Jesus was born, and we're there now. We're already there. We're in the 7,000th year. And there can't be any more. You might not know this because you can't really study this in school or even college or even PhD work, but you'd have to study it, that all the founding fathers, Augustine all the way from the beginning, believed that the world would only be 7,000 years. Now, because of evolution and all that kind of nonsense, you think that man is evolving and so on and so forth. You know, God knows everything. He knows all your thoughts, all the secret things. We'll read this in Deuteronomy 29:29. All the secret things belong to God. He knows your heart, he knows your soul, and he can see your body. He can tell you're not keeping these laws. The Jewish people never kept the laws, and all they need to say is, I can't. If you just say that to God, God, I can't do it. What you're asking me to do is too much. Like Cain said, it's too much. And he was right. It is too much. Let Jesus do it. Let God be God. If you let God be God, he can save your marriage. He can save your business. He can save anything you want. Not only can he will. He's promised that, but you have to have let it go. Just turn it over to God. God, solve this. I can read the text, but I can't understand it. Everyone can read the text, but it's written in such a way it deceives everybody that is not born again. But only the born again could read it and understand it. So I'm a teacher, born again, spirit-filled, spirit-led, every day, because I study the original words. And I ask the Holy Spirit. You can't just read it. It comes by hearing, but you can't just read it. And you can become a Christian that way, but you begin in the spirit, you'll end up in the flesh. You'll end up trying to make your flesh holy. It won't work. It can't work. And so you'd think by now someone would get a clue. That's an illusion. They're going to persist. People are stubborn. They're stiff-necked, the Bible says. Did you notice that about people? I mean, just think of anybody. Well, start with yourself. You are just stubborn. Don't you think that's funny? Yeah, I think that's funny. Because they're trying to do something they can't do. What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone that's not what they are. So a hypocrite is just somebody who's trying to be what they're not. It's kind of like funny. I think it's funny. God has a sense of humor, obviously. That would be like pouring new wine into an old wineskin. Then you lose both the wine and the wineskin. Just leave the skin alone, at least. But if you put the new wine in there, it ferments. It's going to expand and burst everything. You lose it all. Isn't that funny? People that try to be wealthy. What does it profit a man that he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? Isn't that funny? You gained the whole world, but you lost your soul. Sorry about that. But no, you should just read the book. So let's read this Deuteronomy. Very interesting. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness. So he's on the eastern side of the Jordan. It's called Jordan today. It's actually. They adopted that name. So, and it was already called in this day. It was called a long, 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 long time ago. Certainly at the time of Moses. Let's see, where am I? In the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizabah. There are 11 days journey from Horeb. That's all it took. But it took them 40 years to get there. By the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Tom, that's funny. Because you planned a long time ago to, you know, do all this work and so on and so forth. And yet it didn't just take a few writings and so on, which take you months and months and months. But after a while, you realize, you know, I can't do this without God. It's not going to be possible. So God, since I know you love me unconditionally, you say that, no word, and I'm going by your word. I don't want rhemas or anything. Just get to work, because I can't do it without you. And now, God wants you to flourish. Why? Because it's time. So you have to learn the hard way. I had to learn the hard way. Everyone has to learn the hard way. There's no easy way to learn, because we're all full of pride. We all think, I can do this. It'll probably take me 6 months. Okay, a year. Okay, maybe a year. Okay, 2 years. All right, 7 years. Okay, pretty soon you realize.
25 years.
25. Yeah, 25. But eventually it works. But it doesn't work because you did it alone. You did it in relationship to Jesus. And his hand is invisible, so he's not going to show up every day and say, hi, I'm Jesus. He won't do that. But he's just doing it. And he'll just give it to you for free. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll give you everything else. Everything the Gentiles seek, he's just going to give it to you for free. It doesn't cost any money to give a gift. It does for the person giving it, but not for the person that receives it. And so God wants you to trust in the Lord, because he's good. And he loves everybody equally, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Those are the three boys that escaped with mom and dad and their wives, eight people. They're the only ones that survived, and he blessed everyone, and what God blesses, he can never curse. What God blesses, he cannot reverse that and curse. Because he's the same yesterday, and today, and forever. He can never change. There's no novelty in God. The thing he said in the beginning is the way it's going to be. And he'll have the earth that he intended when he first created the world and said, I want everyone to serve me, and worship me, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, nobody's seen that. Nobody has peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Nobody. 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 And so God has saved that to the last. How many know the best is saved to the last? So we haven't drunk the new wine yet, but you're about to. And when that comes, it'll be a different world. Nothing like what you see here. Nothing. Because God's a spirit. And you must worship God in spirit and truth. So if he created you to be like him, but not to be him, because you're in relationship to Jesus, who said, will you marry me? We didn't say, I'm going to do a good work, and you then reward me because I do it, and then give me heaven after that. It's the opposite. You don't do anything. God does everything. Because he's among you as one who serves. And he came down to show you how it's done in heaven. We don't do anything. We let the Father do it. And the Father's big into that. He wants to bless you right now on earth as it is in heaven. On earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The kingdom come, light will be done on earth as it is. He just wants it to be on earth. You can't do that in heaven. You have to be on earth to have it done. But he got that on earth. He doesn't want it in heaven. In heaven, everyone will be nice. Everyone will be friendly. Everyone will be, you know, in love with Jesus. But that's only because Jesus did it all, and they learned that lesson as I can't do it. I can't. The greatest works you can ever say, God, I just can't do it. I'm getting so mad. Help out. Murmuring. God loves us. Murmur. That's how you learn. Do you not learn? You learn by your mistakes. Because you improve it. I'll bet today you have a better idea than you did in the beginning.
Hopefully you run out of mistakes.
Right. No. But that's true. God wants you to learn that, and that's how Jesus learned. It's the same way Jesus learned. He's a model for us. Because he came down as Son of Man, even though he was Son of God, but he emptied himself of that. He left that upstairs, his omnipotence and all that kind of stuff. So all he did was hear God daily, and he just did what God said daily. That was unusual about anybody Nobody ever lived like that. If you think I have any sin, convict me of it. Just like Trump, you know. You know, if you think I've done wrong, just, you know. I'm not doing it. I'm actually giving all the glory to God. He is saying that. I want religious liberty. I want liberty to prevail. Well, it's not the top topic that most people are thinking of right now. They all agree with it, but nobody wants to do it. Why? Because you'll suffer. How many know that when you do a work of God, you'll be persecuted?
Yep.
Woo! Isn't that fun? Isn't it exciting to have that? I like to do things that no one can do. I do. I like crises. And I'll always be in business. Because if you can survive through a crisis and after crisis and after crisis, and then you learn to laugh after a while, saying, I can't do it. Just Jesus, do it. I'm not even gonna try this time. I'm just gonna let you do it. Tell me what to say, what to do. I'll do it. I don't want a rhema. I don't want any miracles, signs, wonders. I don't want that. I don't want it. I know I can have it, but I don't want it. I'm just going to do what you say, and then you do all the miracle stuff. You do all that signs and wonders and confirm what I just did. But I can't confirm what you said. But you can. How many know that God wants you to hear these words that he said before? This is the second reading. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir, which is Edomite, that's where they are, unto Kadesh Barnea, which is the place where Abraham went. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandments to them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. I'm not going to explain all these places, but they're all in the Promised Land area, usually on the other side of the Jordan, but not all. The Philistines are on the western side. Kadesh Barnea is below them. The king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side, Jordan in the land of Moab, that's in the middle. By the way, Ammon is at the top, and these are relatives of the Jewish people, just like they are today. The relatives are the Muslims who came from Ishmael, and they're the relatives. But some you can kill, but some don't. Well, Moab is in the middle. And that's where they came through the land. And Moab said, no, you're not going to come here. And then God told him, don't ever kill them. Don't destroy them. Whatever they tell you, do it. Right? Just like Trump is doing with people that hate his guts. He's just doing it. And laugh. Don't worry about it. He just keeps doing stuff. He's not worried about, don't ever worry about the enemy. Don't subdue the enemy. The enemy is very good. Everything the enemy wants to do is on your side. And whatever man does, what can man do to me? If I'm determined, because I have a vision, if I'm determined to succeed, I will succeed. But you have to have the wherewithal to stay alive, to survive through all the troubles. Until you finally get to the place where you flourish. But God wants you to flourish. But he wants you to be a steward, a servant of him, a trustee of someone who actually knows how to take a little and make a lot. And that's what God is teaching us all. And so just as we're the energy capital of the world and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff, it's true. And we know it. But don't be arrogant about it. Don't be, you know, so bossing yourself around. But money is actually a god. It's just don't have love of money. Don't love the money. It's just simply a reward that God gives you as a gift. Are you hearing me? So it isn't, I'll work real hard and try to get it. The secret of Ross Perot was he failed at least 70 times before he succeeded. You can read a book. He wrote a book. He learned from his failures. That's how he learned. The same with Edison. The same with Ford. The same with all these people. They had to experiment and experiment and so on. It's not easy. It's not easy to do something new, different, that hadn't been done before. But the Americans are free to experiment. We had a whole government full of self-governing people. This government that we have is not made for unreligious people. It's not made for immoral people. Amen. That's what's happening right now. Don't be surprised. It's lukewarm on purpose. God designed it that way. He knew there would be seven churches, and we're in Laodicea, a lukewarm church. Lukewarm just means this, because he spews them out of his mouth. In other words, he can't talk to them. What he's doing is saying, lukewarm means make provision for your flesh. That's all lukewarm means. It just means you're neither fish nor fowl. You're a hybrid. What you're doing is not going to be possible. When you make provision for the flesh, how can you call yourself a Christian, a Jewish person, a Catholic? How can you call it? We love everybody, right? It doesn't matter whether you say right or not. It's right. We love everybody, but we hate their sin. But you can't do anything about sin. Let God do it. All you can do is be hot. And when you're hot, when you're passionate about whatever you're doing, you will succeed. And God wants you to succeed. He didn't say, I'm going to create this person so that they fail and get killed. You know, my mom tried to abort me because grandmother didn't want mom to not succeed. She'd gone to 17 high schools, head of her class, and she was going to do thus and so. And then grandmother said, if you have this baby, because you went dancing and slept around and so on, because you're going to have this baby, it's going to ruin your life. Get that kid aborted. This was in the 40s when nobody... When you're born a bastard, which I was, you're worthless. You don't even have a birth certificate. There's no way, because it was just stuff. It's just stuff. So you have no legal right. So for 4 years, I never had a birth certificate. Now I have three because of all my fathers. And they just kept changing my name. It's fun to have fathers that are no good. And that because you learn to be independent because they're no good. My grandfathers were perverts. I mean, they were bad. They're mafia. Now, I grew up in that environment. I didn't even know what mafia meant. All I knew is they have bigger houses on the golf course. That's all I knew. Riding my bicycle. Someday I want to have one of those. And so I don't have it. Meeting Jesus will ruin your life. It will ruin your life because I had ambition. I had, you know, this is how I'll do this and that and so on and so forth. But now I'm old and gray, and so there you have it. But I'm still happy. As a matter of fact, I am increasingly happy all the time. I can put up with anything. I don't care what it is. I love it. I want to do what no one else wants to do, just like Trump. He wants to do something that Bush couldn't do, you know, Obama couldn't do, and, you know, all the people that are, you know, whatever, promising, they can't deliver on their promises. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, the first day of the month, that Moses spake to the children of Israel, according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. That's a trick. Did you see this? God said, I commanded you to do it. Just like he commanded them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat of it thereof, you'll surely die. No, that's a promise. It looks like a command. He even uses the word command. But it was a commandment to Jesus, not to the Jewish people. And they've never succeeded. No Jewish person will ever go to heaven because of their good works. Not only that, they haven't done any. He'll pay the same wage to a guy that works 8 hours that works 1 hour. Because God's merciful. Isn't that amazing? And all he wants the Jewish people to say, we can't, we're tired of this. Heaven, everybody hate us. Let's go to America. Let's go where, you know, they give you some freedom and so on and so forth. But that can be taken away too. People still burn down your, you know, synagogues and all that kind of stuff. So they don't know where to go, where to hide. Hide in Jesus. Maybe Jesus. I don't want to. I don't want to do that. How many know they hate Jesus? That's your problem. It's your problem. You know, and so God is having a discussion with his people. He's having a discourse with them. And they haven't get it yet because you know why? Because of the church. We, the church, are not hot. Therefore, you can't make anyone else hot. The lukewarm, the cold. I wish you were cold. I wish you were atheist. I wish you hated my guts because you're easy to get. But the lukewarm messes it up because they keep saying, yes, behave yourself like Job. If you just confess your sins, if you just confess your sins, God will forgive you and then bless you. Just say it. What is your sin? I didn't. He clung to his integrity. I didn't. But one secret he had, which didn't come out in the book until the very end, he had a secret that I believe everything you're saying sounds good, but I don't believe a word of it. I believe God is better than what you're saying, that I have to confess. I have to start so then he can bless me again. I don't believe that. I didn't do anything like you're saying. And I don't believe this is because of my sin. I believe this is for the glory of God. And he believed that. And in the end, he said, I heard you with the hearing of the ear. Now I've seen you with the seeing of the eye. Because he was in that whirlwind that came down. Remember that? So he thought, I'm not going to do anything you say. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not going to do it. Because he had faith in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He thought God was better than what they were saying.
Yeah.
They were religious, but they did not know the true and living God. And God came down. Not only did he not spank him, he kept the wife alive. Mrs. Job. He never bawled Mrs. Job out. He was just trying to train Job to be better by not doing anything, by letting God start and finish, because he's the Alpha and the Omega and the way. So he's the beginning and the middle and the end. He's everything. God is God. You're going to love reading this law because it's something you cannot do. Everything in here he tells him to do is not. It's a promise. A promise from a promisor, E-R on the end. A promise from a promisor is for a promisee. And if somebody makes a promise to you and they don't keep their word, what can you do? But our foundation is in heaven. So if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But nothing. I don't need to, because God already did it before the foundation of the world. So our foundation is in heaven. Can't see it. So what's unseen is greater than what's seen. What you cannot see with these eyes, you can see with spiritual eyes. Because God's a spirit, and he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. That means don't do anything. Let God start it. Let God keep you alive during the process. And then let God be the end. It'll all turn out good. If you believe that, you're a powerful man of God. If you believe that, you're a powerful woman of God. Everything is actually for you to relax. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Just to be rested. You just rest and say, God will work it out.
God will work it out.
You know, and you know that person's going to fall the next minute. But you learn after a while to say, don't worry about it. God will work it out. So you just have to have a sense of humor. I like God. He has a sense of humor. He's keeping me alive. Amen? I've done all kinds of things that I shouldn't have done. So what? God still likes me. I just can't believe that. I have to laugh every day. That's why I like to be up without you know, Peggy in the bed. Because I'm laughing out there. What are you laughing for? So she wants my secret. I just believe that word. I totally believe that word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So everything you're reading in here has to be read by the Spirit of the Lord, not by the letter of the Lord. The letter of the Lord killeth. The Spirit of the Lord giveth life. So if you read that by the Spirit, you'll turn every command into a promise. I can do that. You give me any law, I can turn it into a promise. I don't care what it says. Perish, you know, being destroyed and so on. That's just a promise. Jesus did that. He already took the wrath of God 2,000 years ago. So he's not mad at me because I don't have any sin. You do too. I just saw you. You're going by sight. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. When Jesus died, I died. When Jesus was buried, I was buried. When Jesus rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. Because wherever he is, that's me. He's just me. And he's just living my life for me, in me, through me. Woohoo! Amen. If you got a hold of that, you'd be free. How many are getting an inkling of what I'm talking about? This is powerful. So I want to read the law because the only thing a law can do is make you guilty. It's all. It's just going to get you stress. Your self-confidence will leave. As soon as you hear the law, be holy as I'm holy. You know, you don't want to do it. But you can't. You tried, but I didn't do it. Well, you're never going to do it. He already settled that in the beginning. Did you know man at his best state is altogether vanity, nothing, zero. All the idols, they're not idols, they're nothing. They don't even exist. Jupiter is just Japheth. Do you hear what I just said? It's just an ancestor. You're just naming some ancestor you had. It's nothing. We're just talking about skin color. Nothing. There's no difference between black and white and colored and all that kind of stuff. We make up races. There's no Bible word for race. It's a big deal today for the Democrats. You're a racist. That's funny. You're a racist too. Doesn't matter. It's just a matter. Because the word is family. It's a family dispute. Three brothers, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They're all from the same parent. They're all from the same parent, Noah and his wife. But they married, and so on, so they have all these intermarriages and so on. So it's nothing. It's just skin color. The black leader who came up with this dream, this idea, he said these words, someday men will not judge by the skin color, which is superficial, but judge by the character of a man's inner being. Because he was a pacifist. He didn't want to fight and so on and so forth. He got killed anyway. So everything worked out in a way, but he changed America. Yeah. He changed America. So it doesn't matter what you intend to do, won't happen. What God intends to do always happens. So God wants us to be a family. Yeah. Now, 400 years, the black man landed in a place on the eastern ocean, Point Comfort, right there, a ship came in, and it was from Portugal. This Portuguese ship came in. It was heading for South America. But two British ships met it along the way, and they said, that's a Portuguese warship. Let's bomb it to, you know, smithereens. Let's destroy it, because I bet they got gold on there or something valuable. And so they did. They demolished it. But what they found was 20 slaves, male. 20 male slaves. And so they landed, rowboat, got all the way to the shore. And I've been right there at that spot. Exactly at that spot. In fact, we had a meeting of 12 of us. And I was the white guy. And they were all black. To celebrate the 400th anniversary right now. Right now. Right now. So they're planning right now. But the woman asked me, black woman, she said, I've been really praying about it and I want you to come. You do, I'm not black. She said, well, I'm Christian too, like you. So you're going to come. He said, I'll ruin the whole thing, but, you know, you want me to come. Because you've been to Africa and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Okay, I'll come. But when it was, the first day was perfect. First day was perfect. We were there for a whole week. Hey, right where Martin Luther King used to have all his meetings, exactly in a mansion right there on the water, the James River. Anyway, and the next day, men started to murmur and complain. Now, all of us were apostles. That means you're sent out to build a church or renew it or do some good. And so we're all apostles. Everybody in the room was apostle, male, female, whatever. And so we were all there, and they started to murmur. And I didn't like that. If you're an apostle and you're a Christian, how can you gripe? How can you complain? And you're an apostle? This is inside of myself. I said, that's not right. So when we walked home that night, I said, God, I can't even go to sleep. That's bothering me that two apostles said they should be make reparations and all that kind of stuff. That's just Democrat nonsense stuff. Yeah, so how can you be a Christian? Believe that. Anyway, so I didn't sleep all night because I kept thinking about that. If I complain or gripe about them griping, then I wouldn't be an apostle. So I can't disunite the group. They brought us together out of all of America. They brought us all together from all over to be the apostles that set it up for the black celebration. How can you celebrate when you're griping and complaining? So, and now you're going to complain and gripe about the gripers and so on and so forth. I can't do it. I just can't do it. So God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to talk. I'll just be quiet and endure it. But I had all kinds of solutions in my mind that it kept mulling over. And in the morning, next door to me was another black brother that I know from Baton Rouge. And I said to him, he said, well, what's troubling you? Well, nothing. I just was awake all night. Well, what'd you think about? Well, I don't know, just stuff. We'll share what you wake up. We're friends. I don't really want to. I don't think God wants me to speak. You what? What is your problem? Well, the guys yesterday were griping and blah 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 blah. So, speak up. Speak up. Go ahead. I'll back you up. Really? There'll be two of us kicked out because I'll be the ruiner of the whole thing. No, speak up. So at the dinner table, or at the breakfast table, we were all there, and we were all at tables of four in this dining room. And so they couldn't hear us anywhere else, but we can just talk among ourselves. So another guy joined our table right here from Dallas. He's an apostle here. And so he was hearing what we were saying. What are you guys talking about? Well, just things. And he said God doesn't want him to speak because he doesn't want to disunite the thing and so on and so forth. And what do you say? Speak. Oh my gosh, now I have one third of the group. I'm gaining. So I said, well, I don't really want to say that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to disunite. No, unite. It'll come up anyway. It's going to come up when you have the celebration. They'll realize you didn't address this problem. Speak up. I'll back you up. No, I have two guys on my side. So I'm going to speak up and get kicked out anyway. So I began to say, I don't want to continue the way we're going. It's a nice, innocent thing.
What's he gonna do?
I don't want it because I don't mind what you're saying because it's all true. I don't deny what you're saying is true, that people are racist and you know blah blah, and they gave great stories. They were awesome. Showed how they've been, you know, one's a doctor, one you know. I mean they have degree after degree. These people know Hebrew and Greek and so on, same stuff I do, and it's like these people are awesome. So I don't want to break fellowship with them. But I say, I don't want to go on the way we're going. And I think I've heard the word of the Lord that I should speak up and say, from now on, I want everyone here, when you say something, give a scripture for what you say and stop doing all this nonsense. I don't want to hear it. So then I sat down. Then this guy next to me, he said to me, he was at my left, yeah, I agree. I agree with him. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it even stronger. And then this last guy won the day. I mean, it was like awesome. He's right here. Robert knows him. Everybody knows him. And so he was an awesome guy. And so when he said it, everyone was kind of quiet. From then on, the whole thing changed because the speaker, the guy that was leading the whole group, black also, he said, you're not listening to what he's saying. Jim is saying something important. You're talking earth. He's talking heaven. That's a good way of saying it. Yeah. I like that. Earth, heaven. And so, and then the wife came up who actually invited me in the first place. And she came over, and she had a big smile on her face. And I thought, uh-oh, she's going to kick me out. She's just giving me this because she's in charge of everyone being there. And she's just the husband serving that capacity. And so she grabbed my hands, and smiling, just went down. And just shook me like that. In other words, you did right. But I didn't know if I did right, and she's going to kick me out the next minute. I did not know. But it was powerful because then I stayed after, and everyone else went home. But I stayed after, and she was the only one left because she also stayed after. Everyone else went home. And she said, hey, how's the morning? And so on. There's just two of us. And I was waiting for one of my granddaughters to come pick me up because they live right there in Virginia. And so she said, let me share something here, what you're saying. I like what you did. That other person, because there was another person there also from San Antonio, and that person said, he just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. That was great. I like that. He just doesn't get it. And so I thought, well, she's wrong. I get him. No, but I did say that to myself. I didn't say that to her. I get him. I'm not trying to get it. And so then she began to share her life, say, come over here. I want to talk to you. So we sat down at a table, and she opened her whole life. I mean, incredibly told me her whole story. I don't share this with anybody, but I want to share it with you. So I, whoa. I'm on the inside now, it's not on the outside. So she shared it, and I encouraged her, and she kept going. It was like powerful. Then the granddaughter came. So when she came, I told her the whole story, because she's the oldest girl in Kara's children. And she liked it. She liked what I said. And so I told her all about it. So the next day, I left something back in the room or something somewhere. I lost it. Oh, my gosh, what did I do with that? Because I was so excited about it. I was talking, then she came, and so I just left. I didn't even say goodbye or anything. I just left. The next day, I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm missing something important. I got to go back to the thing. So I said, I know today we were going to go to Williamsburg or someplace or something to visit stuff. But could we drive out to that place we were yesterday? So I didn't introduce her the day before, but I introduced her. And it was a ball. It was like powerful. So God turned something that I thought was of the Lord to the Lord. And so I realized, wow, it's good to just let God be God. Don't interject yourself. And I was afraid that I would destroy the group. And we had to be a group. What kind of a group would that be if somebody else divided it? But it didn't work out that way. It worked out the other way. So now I had five of us people, almost half, on my side, thinking, wow, this is amazing to me. So then I said, don't think about that. End it right there. Don't think about that. Anyway, we went back, had a great time. Then we went and did all the stuff we had to do. It was everything about Black celebration this year, 2020. Everything about that has been planned by us. We were the planners. And now it turned out we were all friends at the end of the whole thing. Even not, it was so powerful that I said, oh, this guy said to me, the guy that led it, he said, you know what? I don't disagree with everything you said. I just thought you need to know how bad it is and it doesn't work out, you know, just all of a sudden we'll be in leadership or something like that. Well, I don't believe that, I said. I believe you will be in leadership, church and state. So you don't, but I do. Because after 400 years, it always ends up in Passover, which is this festival of freedom. I believe you're going to be free, not with a war.